Because sometimes going into like the workforce investment office is a little bit too overcoming. That's a one-stop center, and so you've got hundreds of people trying to use, you know, a series of computers. And a library is a more neighborhood and more friendly oriented setting.
And they're all over the city.
And they're all over the city, right.
The workforce,
right.
Is that in Manchester?
That's in Manchester Mall, right.
Let me ask you about your new job.
Wow.
I don't know that much about it, so I want
me neither. So okay, we're gonna learn. We're gonna learn together today.
How big is your budget? How many people are on your staff? Who do you report to? Do you feel you have the support you need in order to get the job of ending homelessness in Fresno done?
Wow, there is no staff. It is just myself. However, I have the benefit because I report directly to the city manager. I have the benefit because of that, and the fact that the office is physically housed in the manager's office, that I have access to all the other departments as needed. So, you know, 1 week I may be working more with community sanitation and, you know, Department of Public Utilities because we're talking about a trash cleanup. There may be another week, although this hasn't come yet, I'm sure it will come in the very near future, where I may be dealing with the police department, or I may be dealing with the planning department. The budget was approved last fiscal year for this current year. It's in the 08-09 city budget. There is a line item, actually, under the planning and development department within the housing division for homeless services. Roughly $1 million was set aside. That includes my salary, and anything that we're doing is kind of all lumped into that one line item at this point. The goal ultimately is to take the bulk of this money and to really begin to do housing first around it. Whether it is the short-term projects that we're proposing on vouchering and the street outreach teams and the cost-benefit analysis to some of the longer-term projects that we will be focusing on when it comes to permanent supportive housing in large numbers. And in most of those cases, most folks are considering or talking about, most of the builders who are interested in doing this are now talking about taking property that they may currently have in their inventory and now refocusing the efforts from maybe a multifamily development to more of a development that could serve, in some cases, homeless folks.
I would like to you to explain to me your understanding of the Housing First project and then talk about the short, medium, and long-term goals of your department in moving us in the direction of the Housing First program.
Absolutely. Fortunately, I had a very good teacher, and for everyone out there, I will admit that it was Mike Rhodes who sent me a video of a Housing First documentary that was done back in Boston, Massachusetts, I believe it was. And that was some two plus years ago. About this time, or it was right about the time that we did the homeless marathon, mm-hmm. was hosted here with Jonathan. That sometime immediately after that, Mike sent me this email, and of course, you know, you see Mike Rhodes' name, and you open up the email immediately, and it had this documentary that was done by PBS. In the station back there in Boston, where it literally talked about, here's what the model is. And so I got it immediately. I said, if that's it, that and a few other things, my then boss, council member Cynthia Sterling, saying to me, we have to do something. This was leading up to the homeless marathon, and immediately after that, we've got to do something, kind of figure it out. I began by accident to read 10-year plans. I stumbled across the website that the U.S. Interagency Council on Homelessness has. Heard about this guy, Philip Mangano, and he didn't quite click until months later, but began to hear that there were these 10-year planning efforts. and then got the email from Mike and understood at that point, okay, this is what they're talking about. So for us locally, a Housing First model is what we're talking about doing is taking a team of people, marching out to an encampment, saying, follow us. When you follow us, we're going to provide you with a place to stay. You don't have to change anything about yourself today. Just know and trust that the four walls and the roof above your head will be taken care of. And we'll be here so that when you're ready to get your driver's license, to maybe deal with a behavioral issue, or talk about, you know, seeking employment, or clearing up your court records, or dealing with whatever your situations, or all of the above. And for many of us, we have a lot of issues going on in our lives, and we only want to admit to maybe the smallest one, right? I love coffee, so I'm not giving this addiction up, right? But I'm not a smoker, so you don't have to worry about that. And I'm not a drinker. So, you know, if you, I may occasionally sip a glass of wine, so if you want me to give it up, I'm all for it. But I'm not giving up this one. Okay, this one is mine. And in a Housing First model, you deal with where a person is. So if I'm coming in and I say, I want to give up drinking, and that's the easiest thing for me to give up, but I'm not ready to deal with coffee, then you'll work on me later on with that. You may never get me to give that up. So we're looking at that kind of model. And again, on a very short-term basis, the housing may be a motel or an apartment. In very long-term or intermediate and long-term, that it could be a rehabbed building. It could be apartment complex. On a very long-term, it could be housing built from the ground up. And so that's kind of where we are right now. And that's my understanding of a Housing First model.
When Philip Mangano was here last week, I asked him how long it's going to be before people who are chronically homeless, we're talking about the people living on H Street, mm-hmm. with the encampments there, on G Street, now Santa Clara as well,
right.
that he said that it may be 2 years before you actually see people there getting housing under a Housing First program. Does that resonate with you, that two-year figure? And if that's true, what can be done in the short term for the people that are out there now?
2 years, I think, would be the standard time for a person to say, I want to build X building. Walk into the city or county government and begin to do all of the behind-the-scenes planning that has to be done. You know, the architectural drawings, the renderings, you know, what does the city think of it, going through the permit process, going to the bank and figuring out, well, how do you afford to build this? And then the physical building of that is probably 2 years. And again, I understand that we've got to do something on a very, very short term. And so we have begun to look at what would it look like if we were to go into apartment units that are already available and may be easily accessible because we have relationships, either us, the Housing Authority, EOC, or other service providers have already relationship with these apartment complexes and or motels. What if we were to take a motel and basically rent it out, or a wing of a motel, or several scattered motels, if we could find them, from some of the property owners and say, we're going to take a number of rooms and we're going to make sure that we provide services to those people who are occupants in your room. What would that look like? And so we're trying to flush that out as we speak. We may end up, unfortunately, concentrated in one area with because it may be that we can get our biggest bang for our buck, you know, 50 rooms and have the services right on site in one location overlooking at maybe 10 or 15 scattered locations and having, you know, five or six rooms. And there's some plus and minuses on each side of it. But if we can impact those people who are on the streets today in a bigger number, and provide more housing for them. I'd much rather do that now in the more interim period than work on the scattered site approach and the rehabs, because I think we have to do something today in order to affect what's going on in the encampments. You know, living in an encampment is not healthy for those who are there. And I think when you were with Mr. McGonnell last week, I think you both reported back that in the encampment you all went to visit, that the majority of those residents there said, look, if I had a different place to stay, I'd go.
Everyone said that.
All right. and I think that's true. You know, when I am talking to, someone, whether it's on Mariposa Mall who's homeless, or when I've encountered, you know, folks throughout the community, they'd much rather have a place to stay that it, they can call their own, whether it is a permanent residence or maybe a transitional facility.
So you're really looking at this in a much shorter term than 2 years out. We're going to have housing for the chronically homeless. And the reason that two-year figure came out was because that's how long it takes to go through the permit process.
Correct.
And
correct.
Construction.
Correct.
And that whole road.
Correct.
But what I hear you saying now is that on a much shorter time frame, you want to provide vouchers for
correct.
Homeless people to put them in decent, affordable housing. In what time frame are we talking about? A month? A year? What do you know at this point, or are you still working on what that time frame
actually, will be? The goal would be to have something, hopefully to the city council, and ultimately provide vouchers sometime as early as March. You know, as many folks know, government moves slow. But I was blessed with the fact that I had a couple of weeks of a head start where we were able to kind of begin to have a dialogue of what we ought to do in talking with many folks about what the vouchers in the lawsuit provided and what they didn't provide. We kind of have a better understanding. And of course, we're not reinventing the wheel. We are doing what other jurisdictions have done previously. A great example is New York. New York, in the five boroughs, had 73 encampments and begun a very aggressive effort that ultimately took street outreach teams, well, divided the boroughs into sectors or sections, took street outreach teams basically based on the service providers, used the same model, and provided vouchers and assistance in housing. Now, whether you think that they did a great job or not, that kind of, in their particular efforts, that kind of outreach has been replicated in other jurisdictions, and it's worked. So what we have to do now is continue to figure out what services are wrapped around that and where the housing can be. And we're pretty close to having those two things bridged. And then it's going to be about really making sure that we take it through the proper channels, both in the city and the county, because we are talking about two government agencies, and getting their collective buy-off at the same time that we're getting the buy-off of our 10-year planning committee and those folks who are currently in the encampments. And part of that means we're going to have to go out and talk to some of the key leaders in those encampments about, are we on the right task? If we do this, would you come? And if you come, can you help us continue to sell this this plan? Because this is what it means service-wide. I think we can do that. Here it is, you know, the third.